and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. Yeah, having faith is like throwing a stone into the pond. You can't throw that stone into the pond without creating ripples. And if there are no ripples, then that's a pretty good evidence that there was no stone in the first place. Are you with me? The exercise of faith produces ripples, which brings results and soul winning. And if there are no ripples, then there's a very good, clear evidence that there's no faith in the first place.
Welcome to Highway for the Remnant. It is a joy to bring yet another message into your home, or into your church, or into your vehicle as you're traveling. A message focusing upon present truth. There cannot possibly be very much probationary time remaining in which we will have opportunity to reach as many souls as possible before the sounding of the seventh angel. In Revelation, we're told that the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of her wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And Jesus said, "All the tribes of the earth shall mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But his faithful servants will look up and say, 'This is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" It is our prayer here at Highway for the Remnant that you will be inspired, you'll be encouraged, and you'll be challenged as we go live now to this month's message, A Working Faith. I'd like you to come with me this morning to James, the book of James, the second chapter. And let's begin with an added prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll give me your wisdom and your understanding. Bring clarity to what I'm about to speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Be with my mouth and our ears, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The teaching that a man is saved without works to demonstrate his faith is a very popular teaching, and it's very widespread throughout all of Christendom today, including Neo-Adventism. And I ask, why is this concept so popular? Why is it so popular? Well, it's not difficult to understand when you consider that so many professed Christians either are not students of the Word, or they are in need of a conversion experience, or both. The answer to this question is that this belief provides an easy religion.
There's nothing to give up. There's no striving against sin. There's no crucifying of self. There's no separation from the world. There is no conformity to God's standard of righteousness. There is no dietary physical reform. There is no reform of immodest practices. And there's no reform of unholy thinking. So to summarize, the doctrine of salvation by faith alone is popular simply because it involves no sacrifice. There is no sacrifice involved in this kind of easy religiosity. First, let me assure you that it's true that we're saved by faith. That's very clear. The book of Ephesians makes that very clear, doesn't it? And other places as well. Salvation is a gift of God, and it cannot be earned, it cannot be bought, it cannot be paid for in any way. But our works accompanying that faith exemplifies the proof of our genuineness that faith which we claim is correct. This, beloved, is what the Bible teaches. Let's look at chapter 2 of James. And chapter 2 and verse 14. This is a question posed by James here, the Apostle James. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" We'll come down to verse 20 now. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Now in verse 24 he says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Now if you back up a little bit there in chapter 2 of James, at verse 15 on through 18, look at what it says there. "If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is what? Is dead, being what? Being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Now, beloved, you can speak of the principle all you want, but until you attempt to supply your brother's need, they are only empty words. They might be your principle, but they're empty words. And the same can be said of God's holy law. Does the Christian obey God's law that he might be saved? Certainly not. Certainly not. There are many professed Christians who have fallen into the trap of waking up in the morning, and they are determined with all sincerity of heart that they will obey every precept of God's law for the day. Listen, beloved, the true born-again Christian will be saved because God has made him a new creature in Christ Jesus. Divine love has touched his heart. You see, before your conversion, sin held full sway in your life, violating God's principles at will. You did all those things which this old sinful world has to offer. No thought was ever given to the things of God. I met a young man at ASI last week. A fine young man. He was from the islands. The Virgin Islands. He said, "I went to a series of meetings by one of the evangelists, and I was so excited about what I heard. It was just wonderful. I went night by night, did not miss a meeting. And when it came down to the end of the meetings, a decision had to be made for baptism. I didn't know I was going to be baptized." But he was spoken to by the evangelist. He made his decision that he would be baptized. But he also made another decision along with that. "Now that I'm going to be baptized, the day before my baptism, I am going to go out here and I am going to sin every way I possibly can. I'm going to find every sin that I can execute. And I'm going to sin. I'm going to do everything I can come up with because it's my last opportunity. What's wrong with that scenario? Now, that's the law, right? Yeah. That's living by the law. I'm going to sin so I can get it out of my system. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen that way. But you'll be glad to know that he made the right decision. He didn't do that. He was baptized. He had a change of heart. And he's just a wonderful young man out doing the Lord's work. But beloved, now that you have experienced the born-again condition, shall you continue in the old ways of disobedience to God? I mean, after all, it's a means for him to extend more grace to us, isn't it? God forbid. That's what it says. God forbid. Where is that found? Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Dead to sin. Did you get that? Dead to sin. Live any longer therein. Now, let me ask you, how do you and I prove our faith except by our faithful, loving works of obedience? John, in both his gospel letter and in his epistles, he spoke clearly of heaven's conditions upon which mercy is granted. In fact, John 3:16, he wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life." You know, it's amazing how we can memorize some of these texts like this. But do we really know what they're saying? Whosoever what? Whosoever believes. What's involved in belief? You can drop one of the E's in there and you get be live, or be live, rather. Be live. Be live. Live like Christ. But in his epistle chapter, 1 John chapter 2, he stresses the importance of obedience in verses 4 and 5, he states, He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a what? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Perfected. There's that mean word. There's that word we're not supposed to speak about. So in reality, beloved, faith and works are the best of friends. One is abating and abetting the other, you see. Let me illustrate this marvelous truth in a manner in which even the youngest of us can understand. Now, I want you to listen closely. Put on your thinking caps. A tree cannot be struck without thunder. Is this true or false? It's true. Why is it true? Because there is never destructive lightning without thunder. Well, what if I were to say the tree was struck by lightning without thunder? Is that true or false? That's also true. That's also true. If I mean that the lightning alone struck it without the thunder striking it, you see. You got me? You understand what I'm saying? Are you hearing me this morning? You know, you can use this same reasoning concerning faith and works. Now come with me to Romans chapter 3. What if I were to say faith justifies without works? Is this true or false? Faith justifies without works. It's true. Romans 3:28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Now, come back to James 2 again. Now that you've lost your place. Come with me back to James chapter 2. Well, what if I were to say a man is justified by faith and works, not faith only? Is this true or false? It's true. All of these things I'm saying are true. James 2:24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only?" Listen, there will be works with faith just as there is thunder with lightning. To put it in one sentence, faith alone justifies, but not a faith which is alone. All right, now let me repeat that. You might want to write it down. It's worth remembering. Faith alone justifies, but not a faith which is alone. I would like my demonstrators to take their posts. Faith and works. Faith and works. They can be illustrated as a spiritual wedding. Now, here we have the bride. She's young and she's beautiful, clothed with a garment of purity. Her look is calm, she's confident, yet she's trustful. She possesses that heaven-born radiant countenance. Her name is Faith. Now, here beside her is one who has made his... Well, he was made, rather, for deeds of daring and endurance. He's athletic. He's a valor. He has valor in his eyes. He has strength in his arms. He was created to act, created to do, and to suffer. He was formed for strife and struggle. His name is Action, or Works. Works is faith in action, you know. With solemn rites and with the endorsement of the state of Virginia, these two come together and they are now united. They always live and suffer and conquer together. They are to be fruitful. They are to be representative of every good thing in this world. Demonstrators, you may take your seat. And listen, while they are united, they are to live, they are to grow, and they are to conquer together. When separated, they wither and they perish. They're for each other, in each other, and with each other. Their days of struggle and their days of victory will be evidenced in their lives until the culmination of this earthly experience, and eventually will be ushered into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 6 says, "What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." That's something we must never forget. This movement, this great remnant movement, from its conception over 150 years ago, has grown from those few men and women to millions around the world. And listen, it didn't happen by faith alone. What I mean is, they didn't just wait for God to do it all by himself. You know, we're good sometimes at just getting back in our easy chair and say, "Oh, I've got faith. Thank you, Lord." While everybody else is out there doing the work. You see, there's perspiration involved in this faith. They labor. They sacrifice much to see that this remnant movement in its infancy would go to the ends of the earth. And that's happened, hasn't it? It wasn't just faith. It involved a tremendous amount of action. It involved faith and action working together. Faith and action struggling together. Acting together. Every good thing that has been done through this wonderful movement of God has been accomplished through faith and works. Every mission project, every soul that has been brought to the cross of Calvary, in all of his marvelous truths, none of this has ever been accomplished through anything but faith and works. Every mission project, everything that's ever happened. And beloved, the greatest missionary that ever graced the face of this earth, whoever represented the remnant movement, came to us 2,000 years ago. Christ was the apostle of faith and works. He was the epitome of faith and works. He left heaven to become a missionary upon planet Earth. And in this endeavor, he put his faith into action. In other words, he exercised his works. Beloved, salvation comes through faith. But that faith is evidenced by actions and by work. You see, without works, Christ could not have effected our redemption. Without works, he could not have vindicated his Father's law. Without works, he would have failed in his mission. The early Christians, the reformers, they were all persecuted. Many of them. Many of them were martyred. Not for their faith. Don't get the idea that these martyrs were died for their faith, but for the actions or the works of that faith. Are you with me? They had no problem with Luther or Tyndall or Wycliffe or any of these guys, you know, if they had just had faith. They exhibited practical demonstrations of their works combined with their faith. Here are they that keep the commandments and the faith of Jesus. Now, having faith is like throwing a stone into the pond. You can't throw that stone into the pond without creating ripples. And if there are no ripples, then that's a pretty good evidence that there was no stone in the first place. Are you with me? The exercise of faith produces ripples, which brings results in soul winning. And if there are no ripples, then there's a very good, clear evidence that there's no faith in the first place. We try to create ripples without faith. It would be like thunder without lightning. Oh, we are good at producing a lot of thunder. But when push comes to shove, it's evident that we have no lightning. Two men were being taken across a river in a rowboat. And they fell into an argument about faith and works. One of the men contended that works was not important and that it's all faith. And the other man took the opposite position. He said that faith is a minor issue. It's really all about works. And that's the most important. Well, the operator of the boat overheard this conversation and he decided to put his 2 cents worth in and he offered his opinion. He said, look, I have 2 oars. The one in my right hand is called faith. The one in my left hand is called works. Now, gentlemen, let me demonstrate to you how one works without the other. So he put the right one in and went round and round and round and round and round and round in one direction. Put the other one in, round and round and round in the opposite direction. They got nowhere. Just going in circles. There was no progress. Nothing was accomplished. But when he put both oars in together and started rowing, they started to advance toward their destination. You see, faith without works or works without faith will never do. Faith without works, works without faith will never suffice. That there be both. There must be both. And the haven of eternal rest will surely be reached. You see, to claim faith without works is like going in circles. You're trying to be a successful Christian by using just one oar, and you will get nowhere with it. The action oar, motivated by the Holy Spirit, must be in place to advance you in your Christian experience. Speaking of the Israelites on that night, that fateful night there in Egypt, when they were to follow God's instruction, you remember, regarding the blood on the doorpost? Mrs. White says this, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 279. She says, by obedience, the people were to give evidence of their faith, so all who hope to be saved by the merits of the blood of Christ should realize that they themselves have something to do to secure their salvation. Listen, beloved. There are as many ideas out there of faith-only salvation as there are professed Christian organizations. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul, he distinguishes between law and faith and between the letter and grace. First of all, the works of the law are works done without faith. They are done through fear or enticing promises of temporal advantages. Now, we're going to follow the law because that's the only way I can make it to heaven. And he's going to bop me if I don't do what he wants me to do. But the works of faith are those done in the spirit of liberty, purely out of your love for God, out of your love for your fellow man. And these can only be done by those who are justified by faith. You see, justification does not require the works of the law, but it does require a living faith which performs its works. But what are these works? What are these works we're talking about here? You know, Jesus was our great example of practicality. And we need to talk in practical terms, okay? John 14:12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Well, what are some of the things that he did? What kind of works did our great example provide for us? Well, he turned water into wine. He healed the sick. He healed the infirm. He healed the blind. He healed the cripple. The depressed. He fed. Physical food. Fed thousands. Miraculously, he walked on water. He cared for the widows. Now, you'll notice in this text that Jesus said that we, you and I, would do a greater work than he. Oh, how in the world could that be possible? How could you and I do a greater work than he? So what did Jesus mean that his faithful followers would do greater work? Well, it's without a doubt, as you study the text there, and without a doubt, it was the works of Jesus' followers would be greater in extent. Because, you see, his earthly ministry had been largely limited to Judea and Galilee. His disciples, however, were to do what? They were going to extend this ministry to the other parts of the world. And so here we are today. Look where we are now. When Jesus ascended to heaven, his followers numbered in the hundreds. Just 40 days later, in response to the preaching of the apostles, that number leapt from hundreds to thousands. You can read that in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And by the end of Acts, the gospel had made its way to Rome. We have access, beloved, to a living Christ. And he will provide whatever is needed according to our talents to do his work. And when you become a surrendered, born-again child of God, you can be sure that there will spring forth from you a tremendous love, and from me, a love for your fellow man. You take on the character of Christ. That's where the works is an act of faith. So in summary, faith and works are married, and they cannot dwell apart from each other. For those who love the Lord, they will not dwell apart. Amen. Our works, combined with faith, are the principles of Christian living acted out in our lives. The vital end time ministry of Highway for the Remnant is made possible by your faithful prayers and generous support, enabling us to spread present truth messages at home and abroad. To contact us, visit our website at highwayfortheremnant.com, or you may email us at remnanthighway@hughes.net. You may also use the enclosed envelope for a change of address, or to submit the name of someone who would appreciate these very important messages. Our prayer is that when Jesus appears the second time, He will find a people rooted and grounded and proclaiming the three angels' messages. And now we continue with Highway for the Remnant's health segment and story time.